the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend, Richard Epstein, professor of law at the University of Chicago and NYU, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, long acquainting me with the Federal Trade Commission. And now we have a headline that involves not only the FTC and its chair, Lina Khan, but also the all-powerful and extremely resourceful Amazon. The headline in the Times: FTC accuses Amazon of tricking users into subscribing to Prime. Subhead: the lawsuit is the first time that the Federal Trade Commission, under its chair, Lina Khan, has taken Amazon to court. Professor, Lina Khan has a mission, which is the short version. Lina Khan believes that bigness is anti-competitive. She is, at this point, the chair of the FTC, making the allegation that Amazon dupes, I believe is the word you've reminded me, dupes some subscribers into remaining at Prime, their Amazon Prime, which costs a certain amount each year. And that duping, apparently, is hard to undo. How do you measure now the FTC taking on the all-powerful? Good evening again.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, Amazon is not all-powerful. Look what's happened to their market capitalization and their general business. It's like all great firms, they have their periods of peak, and then it turns out competitive forces tend to reduce it. This is not, however, an antitrust case. This is a consumer protection case in which duping, making things difficult, tricky, and so forth, these are sort of unfair, deceptive practices. And it doesn't matter whether you're a big firm or a little firm, even if you had only 1,000 customers and you cheated them in the way in which Ms. Khan presupposes in this case, you'd still be guilty of that. Well, then the question is, do they do this? Well, I have two grounds to be very skeptical about what she's saying. One is, I never trust her on anything. We come from very fundamentally different views of the world. I'm a classical liberal who believe that market transactions allow people to flourish. She turns out to be a regulator who thinks that half of these transactions are in some sense exploitive, and that's why she's very aggressive under the antitrust laws and under the consumer protection laws. So we start from very different priors. The second thing is, I haven't seen the evidence. I've seen the denials, of course, by the Amazon company, but this is what I would want to say. People, when they enter into Amazon transactions, they don't enter into these transactions only once. They do them hundreds upon hundreds of times with all sorts of purchases. And it turns out lots of people are pulling off of these services. And so what you'd want to do is to see the rely on the business, whether it declines, the turnover rates, and so forth. But my view is, if you're doing these things 100 times, you can figure out how to get out of this particular system. And in fact, the basic incentive on the part of most companies is exactly the opposite of what Ms. Khan said, which is, well, what you want to do is to get people in to use the service, to stay there because they like it. And in fact, if you make it clear that they can't get out of the service when they don't like it and have to continue to pay fees, that's the kind of news that spreads by word of mouth and will utterly destroy the company that engages in it. And we also have to remember something else, which is very troublesome, is that the word consumer fraud has two meanings. It can be fraud on consumers by companies like Amazon, or it could be fraud by consumers on companies like Amazon. And it turns out the risk of fraud by a company which has huge reputational losses is very hard to sustain, whereas risk by individual company customers is very, very easy to sustain. So what's the customer risk, you say? Well, you get something, you try it on, you don't like it, you rip it, you return it. And what you say is, well, when I took it out of the package, it already had the tear inside it. That's consumer fraud by consumers against the company. And what happens is you start seeing that the returns problem, for example, is extremely important. And now companies are starting to think they have to put some kind of restocking charge or fee on this situation. Because otherwise, if you have a sale and the thing is unraveled, it's a complete loss situation for you. And what you have to do is understand that sometimes it's a good business to give absolute unqualified rights of return, but in other cases it's not. Much may depend on the class of customers that you're dealing with or the kinds of merchandise that start to take place, but it's a really hard problem. And so my essential view with respect to this and everything she said is the presumption is against the legitimacy of anything today that comes out of either the FTC or the Justice Department on these issues. And so therefore, I can't say I know what the evidence is. I can just say what, based upon background information, is what the likelihood is. And as a betting man, I would assume that she is wrong. It is also the case that, you know, Her record in court is very mixed because sometimes she is guilty of overreaching. And I think what's going on here is the Amazon people be able to say she doesn't like big firms, so she's going to suffer them to a standard of care that she would not put upon anybody else. So this is differential enforcement of the consumer protection law, and it's an illegitimate extension of the powers that the FCC has, or the FTC has, over these various kinds of operations.
I contribute these facts. There are 200 million prime members, 200 million. And the likelihood of some percentage of those 200 million believing anything is possible. Otherwise, I have read in two reports, it takes 7 clicks to leave Prime, sometimes 6 clicks. That is not too much to ask people to do when they're moving away from what is presented to them as an advantage. It certainly has many advantages to be Prime. So, Richard, what we have here is the FTC gaining headlines. And I take it with our last seconds, you believe that this case will not go forward. Is that correct?
Well, I don't. I mean, one of the things you understand about kids,
30 seconds,
understand, is people are very good at doing plies. That is cooking here, getting there, getting there, getting the other place. That's absolutely standard procedure. The older you are, the more trouble you have with it. But my guess is you're talking about a very tiny percentage of people have troubles. And so long as they have a 14-year-old nephew and niece, they're going to be just
right.
Fine.
Professor Richard Epstein, the Hoover Institution. I'm John Madden.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.